All right, well, good morning again. And we'll say a special welcome to those of you who are new here, whether you're in person or online. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Especially if you came maybe Christmas Eve for the first time and made your way back, or maybe it's just a new year and a new you, and you're going to check out church or try church again for the first time, or first time in a long time. We're so, so glad that you're here. All around you are people who've made those exact same kind of decisions, like dozens of them. And for many of them, they'd say that was one of the best decisions they've ever made in their lives. So we pray that that's your experience too here as you step into Chatham Community Church. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And again, this is a big Sunday for our church. If you're new, you might not know, in 2017, we sort of launched our second campus down in Pittsboro. And they've been doing great ministry down there in Pittsboro. And we found a new location. We're going to upfit, renovate it. And so we're rolling together until the summer. Hopefully sometime this summer, we'll relaunch our Pittsboro community to do great ministry down in Pittsboro. So for the next handful of months, a big family reunion. We're so, so glad that y'all are here. So, so grateful for all the ways that folks have worked hard to make this day not as chaotic as it could be. So thank you so much for being here and being a part of our community. Today is also a great day because we're kicking off a fantastic series, My Still Messy Beautiful Family. Been so looking forward to this series. There is not one week that goes by where I don't talk with someone about some messy family dynamics, right? Not one. Sometimes it's marriages that are in trouble. Sometimes it's dealing with an ex-spouse. Sometimes it's kids, little kids, teenage kids, adult kids going off the rails. Sometimes someone's trapped in an addiction and you're trying to figure out how to manage and deal with that. Sometimes it's caring for aging parents along the way. Sometimes it's grown sibling dynamics, right? Like fighting over the inheritance or whatever. It's funny how it's always the other sibling, amen, who's the trouble? Always the other sibling who's the problem one, right? And don't even get me started on the in-laws, right? Amen to that too. So all these different things, right? All these, some of these problems and challenges have all this history to them. Some of that history actually goes back to generations. So here's the reality. Family is messy because family is full of people and people are messy, right? Not you, of course, but other people are messy. And at the same time, here's what's also true. For many of us, we can point to our family of origin and say, I learned some of my best characteristics from my family of origin, right? Mama told me to tell the truth, so I tell the truth. My dad taught me hard work, so I do hard work, right? Some of us, faith was a part of our family of origin, right? So some of the best things about us are tied up in our beautiful, messy family. So here's the reality. Family is beautiful. It can be beautiful. Family is also messy. Some of you have fantastic families. Some of you have train wrecks for families. None of us have perfect families. So what we're going to do over these next several weeks is we're going to walk through the scriptures and we're going to look at the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the scriptures to help you navigate your messy, beautiful family. How do you deal with boundaries? What does forgiveness mean? What does forgiveness not mean? How do you be awake to sort of generational cycles and how, maybe even break some of those generational cycles? What decisions, conversations you need to have? What does it mean to own in a healthy way family dynamics? What does it mean to not overown family dynamics? So we're calling this My Still Messy Beautiful Family because we did the first iteration of this a year and a half ago. And we had no idea what the response was going to be, but it was overwhelming. It started so many conversations. People were making decisions. We had people tell stories of reconciling with family members they hadn't talked to in years. I mean, so much cool stuff that God did a year and a half ago with the very first series. But of course, family problems don't go away. They just morph, right? So we knew we would need to do it again. And so this is My Still Messy Beautiful Family because family is beautiful and messy. And we're going to do different scripture passages, some similar themes, some different themes. But if today you're in the middle of a bunch of family mess and you need all the help you can possibly get, you can go to our YouTube channel and you can binge the first series, okay? That's good. There we go. You can binge that. Hopefully it'll help you navigate whatever challenges you are facing today. So today we're going to start in the same place we started that last series, with the good news that no matter how functional or dysfunctional your family of origin might have been, God invites you into a strong place, his family. And as God invites us into his family, he's inviting us into the work. That's always a part of what God's up to. God is a redeemer. He's always bringing redemption, healing, health to whatever he touches. And so here's the invitation, week one. Here's the invitation. That is that God's family is a strong place to do important and sometimes very hard work. That is to love our earthly families with God's love, God's grace, God's truth. And as we do so, as we do so, we participate in God's work of healing, redeeming, bringing order where there is chaos, bringing wisdom, bringing his love to our earthly families, even in just small ways. Even if your family is a total hot mess, to even move it to less of a hot mess and more toward beauty is part of the calling and the opportunity we have before us. Now, as we talk about that, there's going to be talk about change, right? How do you change a dynamic? Well, you change the people in the dynamic. But here's the truth. We're not going to try to change anyone else here, okay? How many of you have ever tried to fix someone in your family and it didn't go so well? Yeah, isn't it a bummer? It's such a bummer that people don't respond to your infinite wisdom. What a bummer. If only everyone did exactly what I told them to do all the time, life would be so much better, amen? Yeah, that'd be so great, right? Man, I have all these great ideas about how to fix everyone else. Here's the reality. You can change nobody else. Isn't that a major disappointment about being human? But the person you can change is you. And you can change even if you're the healthy one and someone else is unhealthy. Maybe especially if you're the healthy one and someone else is unhealthy, you can change. Even if you're the one being wronged and someone else is wronging you, maybe you can change. The invitation is to be people who grow up into God's family. And as we learn how to live as children of God, we bring all of God's resources to bear on our beautiful, messy families that whatever is broken might be a little bit more whole. And whatever needs healing might move a little bit more toward health. That's the invitation today as we step into the good news of being children of God and God's beautiful family to be a part of his redeeming work in our messy, beautiful families. Now, the first priority, of course, is for us to get our minds around what does it mean to be children of God, be a part of God's family. And that's what Paul is emphasizing here in his letter to the Romans in Romans chapter 8 that Marshall read for us earlier. Let me pick up that passage again. We're going to highlight just these key phrases that talk about and describe what does it mean to be a part of God's family. Paul writes this, "For those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you a slave so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." A couple of years ago, a Silicon Valley elite released what he called the Techno-Optimist Manifesto. And the whole idea behind the Techno-Optimist Manifesto that kind of circulated among computer nerds especially for a long time was that technology is going to save us. Technology is going to save us. We should let technology do whatever technology wants to do. No barriers, no guardrails. Technology is the thing that's going to save us. We need to usher in more and more technology. Technology is going to be our salvation. Have you ever noticed how many people talk about salvation in all these different languages, all these different terms? Not just religious people. Salvation is on offer to you all the time. Politicians promise salvation through their policies and their personalities. There's the military package of salvation. There's the political package of salvation. There's the economic package of salvation. There's the sort of technology or science path to salvation. This is what's going to make everything right, make everything well. There's all kinds of philosophies and ideologies. If you just go this way, this is the path of enlightenment or truth or coming awake or whatever. All these different ways that sort of people offer salvation. Here's what's utterly unique about Jesus. With Jesus, salvation is a family affair. The primary way that salvation is talked about in the New Testament is that we are saved to be children of God. It comes in a family package. That's why Paul, at the heart of his letter to the Romans, and at the heart of Romans 8, kind of his densest, most thoughtful part of Romans 8, he writes this, that we are to be children of God, adoption of sonship, Abba, Father. We are God's children. We are children. We're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Let me tell you, in a world making all kinds of promises that this is the way to salvation, I'm here to tell you this is actually the way to salvation. This is actually what salvation looks like. To be a part of God's family actually is the path to salvation, path to wholeness, path to peace, path to being a part of redeeming all the broken things in your life and in the world. This actually is the path to salvation. Salvation with Jesus is very unique. Not politics, not economics, not military. It comes in a family package. Here's why. Here's how God designed the world, right? First off, how God designed God's intention for family is this. God's design is that healthy families would be the single most important factor in forming healthy people, healthy societies, and healthy nations. This is what God had in mind when he formed family. Because here's the reality. Your family of origin is the single biggest influence in your life, whether you like it or not. Nothing else shapes you and forms you any more than your family of origin. And that's not all bad. It's not all good, right? But that's the reality of it, right? And So our family, so the way that God intended it to be was that you would be born into a perfectly healthy family with healthy adults and healthy parents and siblings and aunts and uncles and grandparents who all poured into you to make you a healthy adult, that you then in turn would become a healthy parent, grandparent, sibling, aunt, uncle, to pour into other healthy people, build healthy societies, build healthy nations and for generations. That's how God designed the world to work, for family to be the primary shaping influence for all of us. That's how it is. The problem is, of course, that sin corrupts family, right? None of us have the perfectly healthy family God intended, but those relationships are still the single most formative thing in your lives. What that means is all of us are damaged to some degree as individuals, as societies, and nations by our families of origin. Now, this is not to say that all your problems are your mama's fault or your family's fault, right? We have our own things, we have our own like preferences, we have our own sin patterns, those sort of things. But the truth of the matter is every single one of us grew up in a not perfectly healthy family. And so all of us are trying to deal with that baggage. Like, and that can be very simple and very common as maybe you don't know how to handle conflict healthily because no one showed you how to handle conflict healthily, right? Your parents didn't know how to do it. Very few of us have healthy families that deal with conflict well. You don't know how to do it either. You've inherited that from your parents, right? That's like a very common thing. And a more grand scale, right? If you study kind of crime statistics, who are the people who most likely to commit crimes are people from broken families. Not every broken family, obviously, but criminals are much likely to come from broken families, right? This is families. Families are meant to shape people, societies, and nations. But sin has corrupted this thing called family, and this is part of why sometimes you see people on radical extremes call for the abolishment of families, right? Because like it's been so terrible for so many people. So God could do that. God could have blown up the family because it was supposed to be formative and healthy and good, but it's not always healthy and good. So what does God do about family? You know what God does and what Jesus does? Jesus redeems family. And he redraws family. God is Father. Jesus is our big brother, our older brother. And all of us who trust in Christ Jesus, we are siblings. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. This is why Paul kind of hammers on this idea. Children of God, adopted as sonship. We're God's children, Abba Father, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. The goal of all this family with God language and understanding our place in the family of God's children's God is that we might be formed in life-giving ways in God's family, that we might actually be in that family that we were created for, that we need, in part that we might bring God's health, his order, his wisdom, his truth, his grace, his love to our earthly families. As you grow up into God's family, you become a healthier human being. Isn't that a great thing? You know God's peace, God's wisdom, God's truth at work in your life. And then your job then is to sort of turn around to your messy, beautiful family and bring whatever you can to whatever's broken. I'm going to try to bring that truth, bring that wisdom, bring that love to that messy situation. You know what happens if you're in an unhealthy family dynamic and you are also unhealthy? You just make things worse. But if you can insert a little bit of health in an unhealthy situation, you can nudge it from completely dysfunctional and broken to just slightly dysfunctional and broken, and hey, that's a win. So part of what we are to do is to organize our hearts, our lives, our minds, our bodies around God as our good Father, around God's family as our primary orientation. We learn God's wisdom, God's truth, God's order, God's freedom. We learn what that looks like, and then we bring that to yours and my parts of our messy, beautiful family. And here's how that works. Here's the only way that happens. We only experience the fullness of all that grace, all that truth, all that wisdom as we shift our primary orientation away from anything on earth. That's your family of origin back home. That's your current family. That's your spouse and your kids and grandkids, or even your career or the money or your reputation. You have to shift your primary orientation away from anything that's screaming at you here on earth to the family of God. Listen, how do you grow up to be a child of God? The only way you grow up to being a child of God is you go all in on Jesus. And for some of you, here's the biggest challenge. For some of you, early January 2026, here's the biggest challenge for you. You're going to have to demote something else that's more important than God right now in your life. Even something you love, even something as good as family. Some of you are going to have to demote family, friends, work, career, your reputation, your money, all the stuff you're striving over. And striving after, to say, those things might be good, they're not all bad. But you're saying, my primary orientation, my primary allegiance is God, because here's the deal, if God's truth is in the background, you're not gonna be able to bring truth to the forefront of your family. if God's wisdom is in the background, if it's just wallpaper, I kind of the God thing in the background, I don't really do much with that. If God's wisdom is in the background, you're not gonna be able to bring God's wisdom to your messy, beautiful family. If God's grace is in the background, you're not gonna be able to bring God's grace to your messy, beautiful family. If the things of God are in the background, you are not gonna be able to be equipped to bring the things of God to bear to your family in the way that God would have you to do. And so for some of you today, the biggest decision you could make, early January 2026, is to say, I am going to demote some other things that need to be demoted. They're not bad things. They're just not the ultimate thing. I'm gonna organize my heart, my life, around God and God's family and say yes to his invitation to be a child of God. Now, how do you do that? How do you do that? I want to give you a few kind of practical things you can do to help cultivate a mindset and practices that help you to both embrace your identity as a child of God and then also to sort of practice it and live it out together. Several years ago, I was talking with a couple, and they're a great couple, and she's very inventive, very creative with all kinds of projects, and he's very, very handy and doesn't mind doing projects. So they're a beautiful couple. They do all kinds of beautiful, crazy things together, right? And so, but one of the problems with their relationship is she dreams up the projects and then he tries to deliver on what she's dreamed up, and he doesn't always get it right the first time. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? So he doesn't always get it right the first time. So one day he was outside in the yard working on a project that she had dreamed up, and he gets done with the first draft of the project. He goes to get her, and as they're walking in, he said, wait, before you see this, here's what I want you to say. I want you to tell me, the first thing you can tell me is something you love about the project. That's the first thing you can say. And she said to him, what if I don't love any of it? He said, make something up. Sometimes you gotta tell people what they need to say, amen? Sometimes you gotta tell people, here's what I need from you. Here's what I need to hear from you. What Paul is saying in Romans chapter 8 is that God is telling you what he wants you to say to him. Romans 8, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption of sonship. By that Holy Spirit, we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we actually are God's children. So Abba is the Aramaic. That's the language that Jesus spoke, Abba. So Abba's daddy, like a little kid would call their father daddy. So he's writing in Greek. So he writes the Aramaic and the Greek, double emphasis. This is what God wants you to call him. God pours his spirit into our hearts. And what does the Spirit say about you? That you're God's child. That God is your Abba, Father. What is the word? What is the thing that God most wants to hear from you? Abba, Father. What's the word God pours into your heart that the Spirit testifies about you? What's the primary thing that once you trust in Christ Jesus, God wants to hear you say back to him that you are my daddy, I'm your child. And that's my primary orientation. That's my life. In an earlier letter to the letter of Galatians, Paul writes the same idea. He even gets more specific. He says this. He says, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out on our behalf, Abba, Father. When God pours the Holy Spirit into our hearts to speak back the words that God most wants to hear us say, the Spirit cries out, Abba, Father. That's the word that God wants to hear from you. That's what God wants from you. It's what he wants for you. It's what he's given to you, that you might be free to call him Abba, Father. Listen, if that's new to you, if you've never understood that the primary goal of Christianity, of following Jesus, is to be a child of God, if you thought it was all about the rules, about jumping through a lot of hoops to kind of keep God happy and keep God at bay and manage his expectations of you, or if you thought it was just about a get out of jail free card, like just go live in heaven forever. And like, listen, some of those things are true and helpful, like the rules and those things are in play, but those are not the most important thing. When the Holy Spirit speaks on our behalf, the words that God most wants to hear from you, it's just that God's your good father and you're his beloved child. And no matter what kind of dad you had on earth, he's the perfect father you're created for. And if you've never heard this before, this is all new to you. Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. It's what you were created for. It's why Jesus suffered and died to forgive you your sins, that you might be reconciled to your good, good Father. This is the life you were made for, that you might be a child of God, that you might learn to live as a child of God. So how do we learn to live like that? How do we cultivate that? How do we not just like maybe have some basic mental idea of this, but how do we actually live it out? Well, because here's the problem, here's the challenge. You and I face problems, situations, challenges, right? We hit these things on our lives on the regular. It could be a family member some family dynamics. It could be a thing at work or at school. We're going back to, like, teenagers are going back to school this week. Like, all the stuff, right? Kind of could be a problem. It could be an opportunity. Something's bubbling up here early in the new year. You can't wait for this new thing to come along. You've got a problem. You've got situations. You've got opportunities. And here's how we respond to problems, situations, and opportunities. We respond, basically, whatever comes most naturally to us or whatever we've habituated. Whatever comes naturally to us. Or whatever we've habituated, right? So a problem comes your way. If you're a head first type, you get all analytical about it, right? You're like making pros and cons and you're doing analysis, right? If you're more of a heart type person, you have big feelings all over the place. Some of you are fight kind of people. Some of you are flight and runaway kind of people. Some of you get frozen, stuck. Some of you are stand your ground and pick a fight. Some of you are like, let me just manage the situation and manage the people and keep everybody happy and keep the peace. Some of you are like, how do I protect myself? How do I take as little responsibility as possible and just duck and cover and escape? Some of you run to shopping. Some of you run to golfing. Some of you run to your phones, right? We have these habits. We've picked up these natural tendencies, how we engage with the world, with problems, opportunities, and situations. They're not all bad. They're just not always good. And so the question is, how do we learn to relate to problems, opportunities, and situations from a deeper center as children of God? How do we learn to do that in our lives, with our messy, beautiful families especially, right? How do we do this? Well, there's a prayer that Paul invites us to pray as a result of the passage of the scripture he wrote. And the first prayer starts like this. Abba, Father, Abba, Father, Abba, Father, I am a child of God. I'm a little slow, so I have to say it three times. And when I am facing a problem, situation, or opportunity, I want to do that as a child of God, not just out of what comes most naturally to me, because what comes most naturally to me might not be the healthiest thing, might not be the best thing. Not just out of what I've habituated, what I've always done, because it's not always the best thing. I want to respond as a child of God. The Holy Spirit's always praying this for me. Listen, anytime you say, Abba, Father, the Holy Spirit's like, yep, that's what I'm praying for you. The Holy Spirit's already praying this for you. The Holy Spirit's already calling out on your behalf. 24/7, the Holy Spirit's always crying out, Abba, Father, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. And you just say, Abba, Father, you're like, yep, I'm agreeing with the Holy Spirit. I'm agreeing with what God says about me. I want to deal with this problem, situation, opportunity, not just out of what's most comfortable for me, but I want to do this thing. So we're going to add something to this prayer, but I want to start together. We're going to pray this prayer together. Ready? Let's pray together this little Abba, Father, three times, and then I am a child of God. Ready, set, go. Abba, Father, Abba, Father. Abba, Father, I am a child of God. One more time with feeling, deep, deep feeling. Ready? Abba, Father, Abba, Father, Abba, Father, I am a child of God. All right, so what you've done there is you've oriented yourself, right, to what's true. I'm a child of God. I'm putting a stake in the ground. That's how I want to relate to the situation. And then what I want to do is I'm going to give you a second part, a little short prayer, like a little short thing to add to this, right? As you've organized yourself around the truth that you're a child of God, the next thing I want to invite you to do is I want you to pray, take a deep breath, and then we're going to pray these five cardinal virtues of children of God. Faith, hope, love, wisdom, courage. These are the five cardinal virtues in the scriptures. What does it look like to be a child of God? It looks like faith, hope, love, wisdom, courage, no matter the situation, no matter what you're up against. Five core virtues, what it looks like to be a child of God. No matter what problem you're facing, no matter who the problem is or what's going on. Now, this is really, really important when it comes to family brokenness, because often what happens in family dynamics is family dynamics begin to accrue patterns that result in bitterness, right? Bitterness, resentfulness, self-righteousness. Some of you are slackers, really, and don't want any responsibility, want to minimize things. You don't help where you could help, so you retreat and withdraw. Listen, none of those things bears good fruit. If you live your life, if you respond or relate to a situation or a family member out of bitterness or resentment or just self-preservation, do you know what kind of fruit that bears in you and in the world around you? Not good fruit. If you let bitterness drive the bus in your relationships with a family member, it's toxic for you and for the whole system. You let resentment build up in you and then you act out of that resentment, you live out of resentment, it's toxic for you and the whole situation. If you just duck and cover, retreat, run away, just self-preserve. If you just try to manage, keep everybody happy, people-pleasing, that's just going to bear all this dysfunctional fruit. You know what doesn't bear dysfunctional fruit? Child of God, life in the Spirit, faith, hope, love, wisdom, courage. There's no situation, problem, or opportunity that you're going to face for out in your entire life where these five things won't be true, helpful, right, and good. So we're praying those things to ask the Lord to help us to be anchored in these truths, to actually live out of these truths, to live out of these sort of heart motivations. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to call to mind a problem, situation, or opportunity you're facing this week, waiting for you outside those doors, right? What's waiting for you outside those doors? Problem, situation, opportunity. Again, maybe going to school, going back to school this week. If you're a student, maybe you're dealing with a medical problem, financial problem, a work problem. Maybe there's a family situation out there. You got something in mind? Can you get something in mind? Problem you're facing outside those doors? We're going to pray this prayer together, the whole thing, right? Abba, Father, three times. I'm a child of God. Deep breath, faith, hope, love, wisdom. Let's pray together. Abba, Father, Abba, Father, Abba, Father, I am a child of God. Deep breath. Faith, hope, love, wisdom, courage. That's what it means to be a child of God. That's what it means to be a child of the living God. And so the invitation is to practice this in real time, in real life, whatever you're facing, whatever you're up against, whatever opportunities are in front of you. To be a child of God, to show up as a child of God, and to habituate as a child of God. Now, the scriptures have a second thing, a second piece to all this of how you might become, how you might practice, how you might grow up into being a child of God, to actually living out as a child of God. And here's what the scriptures assume. The scriptures assume that you have community as a key resource to living life as a child of God, that you have a Jesus-style community to help you be a child of God. What's your next step in community? What is your next step in community? Back in May, our beloved family dog died, and it's been several months of regrouping, repairing, and being sad, and all those sort of things. And our lives are too simple and too easy, so we're thinking about getting a puppy. Pray for us, okay? Just pray for us. So on January 1st, we went to go visit a puppy, right? Now, we didn't get this puppy because we got cold feet about, are we ready to take on a puppy? But we went to go visit this puppy on January 1st, and we're still trying to decide, can we actually absorb a puppy into our lives? And so we were talking with a woman, it was our foster family, foster home, and the woman who was there said the mom rejected the whole litter, but this puppy had been with a sibling. And because this puppy had been with a sibling, she was way healthier, way more socialized than she would be if she had been isolated. She had a litter mate that made her healthier. My friends, you got to find a litter mate. You need a sibling in Christ. Because how do you live as a child of God if you've never seen it before? You got to learn from somebody else. There are people around you, people sitting right around you, within a couple rows of you, who are dealing with whatever your family mess is, whatever your drama is, whatever your problems are. There are people around you who are navigating those exact same kind of problems in faith, hope, love, wisdom, courage, and you need to learn from them. And if you've lived that life, you got to show someone else how to live that life. How did you deal with your medical problem in faith, hope, love, wisdom, courage? Someone else needs you to show them. God puts us in community. Brothers and sisters in Christ. And then over 50 times, 50 times in the New Testament, he says, one another, one another, one another. Love one another. Serve one another. Pray for one another. One anothering is a big part of what it means to be the family of God. And so, my friends, the invitation is to make community here a priority, to sort of give yourself to the community and say, yes, I am in to sort of be a part of this community. God calls us into community together. He says, I want you to call me Father, and I'm gonna give you to each other as siblings. And so God wants to bless us. God wants to bless us. And the church, when the church is operating correctly, it is a blessing delivery device and a learning delivery device. A blessing delivery device and a learning delivery device. Where we bless each other with the good news of Jesus, and we teach each other how to live as children of God. Listen, if you're new, if this is your first Sunday with us, whether in person or online, if you're new, I want to invite you to give us 3 weeks. Give us 3 weeks to kind of get a feel for, is this the family of God that I want to be a part of? Is this the community of God I want to be a part of? That will get a feel for our community, you meet some people, get used to the kind of up to speed on the music. You'll get up to speed on my speed about 3 weeks in. So I start to slow down about 3 weeks in. Give yourself 3 weeks to say, hey, maybe this is a place for me. Maybe this is a place where I can grow up to be learning what it means to be a child of God. Others of you, you've been around for a while, kind of, you come on Sunday mornings and kind of maybe come occasionally or come regularly, but you're not really plugged in, you're not really in a small group, not really serving yet. What's your next step to making sort of family, community? Because the scriptures assume that you've got people who are living this life, who are on the same path, who are helping you to learn to live as a child of God. My friends, my prayer for Chatham Community Church is that we would be a blessing and learning delivery device, that together we'd walk together, serve together, love one another, and show each other what does it mean to live as children of the Most High God. And close with today's wildly important take-homes. If you're new today, I close out almost every message with my wildly important take-homes. That means if you fell asleep 25 minutes ago, time to wake up and shine. I'm going to summarize the whole thing in 4 minutes. You get the whole thing in 4 minutes. It's a miracle. It's amazing. It's a way for you to wake up and pay attention and get the big ideas from today's message. The first one is this. God's family is a strong place to do really important work, to love our earthly family with God's love, grace, and truth. And so participate, as we do so, participate in God's work to heal, bring order out of chaos, and to bring grace and mercy to our earthly families. That's how the Bible talks about, one of the ways the Bible talks about what it means to be a part of the family of God. The salvation of Jesus very uniquely comes in a family package. We give our lives to Jesus, the children of God. And when God puts the Spirit in our hearts to speak the words that he most wants us to say back to him, the Spirit cries out, Abba, Father. That's an utterly unique, beautiful thing. The Spirit's always crying out for those who have given their lives to Jesus. The good news that God is our good Father. So Jesus redeems family. Family's going to form you. Jesus redeems family. God's our good Father. Jesus, our older brother. All of us who are in Christ Jesus, who share Christ, are siblings, that we might be formed in life-giving ways in God's family. As we participate in God's family, we're formed in his life, in part that we might bring God's health, his shalom, his order, his wisdom to our earthly families. All this is coming at it from different angles. What does it mean? Why is that so important? Why is that so central in the New Testament that we're the family of God, children of God? That's a part of why the New Testament talks about it over and over again. We only experience this as we give ourselves fully to being children of God. That has to be your primary orientation. Some of you have to demote something else today to experience the fullness of what it means to be a child of God and to live out of that, to learn to live out of that. And my prayer is that you'll have the courage to do that. Maybe today, maybe later this week, maybe later this year, that you'll have the courage to say, God's most important. I'm going to step into that wholeheartedly. A couple of ways to cultivate that in really practical ways. We talked about that problem, situation, opportunity, prayer. I'm a father three times. I'm a child of God, declaring what's true. Deep breath, faith, hope, love, wisdom, courage. Never goes out of style. Never inappropriate for whatever situation you're up against. That will always bear good fruit if you can live motivated out of those places, particularly with messy, beautiful family members. And then finally, the scriptures totally assume that you've got community to help you do this. So what's your next step to finding your place in God's beautiful family, even maybe the beautiful, messy family of Chatham Community Church? Now, today as we close, we're going to do what we do first Sunday of every month here. We celebrate communion, the work that Jesus did to usher us into God's family. We celebrate this with Christians all over the world for the last 2,000 years. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he did what he's always doing, taking ordinary things and making them extraordinary. He takes ordinary bread and breaks it, says, this is my body. Eat this in remembrance of me. He takes the cup. He says, this is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins, because sin is what's standing between you and God, calling you his beloved child. So Jesus says, I'm going to wash that away, that you might be ushered in, adopted in to the family of God. So we're going to move now to the communion stations. We've rearranged things a little bit, so we're going to do things a little bit differently. The ushers are going to come up, and we're going to dismiss you row by row to come and get the elements. If you have committed your life to Christ, if you've declared that Jesus is Lord over your life, then this meal is for you. If you're not yet a Christian, if you've not yet given your life to Christ, we're so glad you're here. This meal isn't quite ready for you yet, or you're not ready for this meal yet, but it doesn't have to be that way. The prayer room is open today over there. This morning, if you would like to say yes to Jesus, if you're ready to say yes to grace, mercy, forgiveness, if you're ready to say yes to being a child of God, we invite you to go to the prayer room. Those folks will love to pray with you and celebrate with you. The prayer room is not just open for that decision. Today, if you've got a messy family situation that's overrunning you, just exhausting, maybe so much overwhelmingness, go get prayer. If you've got medical problems, financial problems, work situation, anything and everything going on in your life, we invite you to go to the prayer room. Those folks will listen to you and just come alongside and pray with you. No judgment, just speaking words of grace and truth over you. So I invite you to go to the prayer room and get prayer. The ushers are going to dismiss row by row. We're going to have that section and this section kind of come up this way and then kind of go back around that way. Does it make sense? Like that section go along the wall and this section kind of work around over here. We're going to go down this aisle here and come around along the windows to get back to your seats. I invite you to get the elements, hold on to them, and then we'll eat and drink together. Let me pray for us as we jump into our time of communion. Lord Jesus, in your kindness, you have declared that we're invited to be your children. And so I pray now as we come to these elements that speak words of truth and grace using simple, concrete things to awaken us to eternal realities. Good Father, would you give us a fresh filling of the Spirit that cries out, Abba, Father, over us as we receive these elements, the body and blood of Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for these gifts. Help us to be wide awake to the eternal truths they point us to. In Jesus' name, amen.